Scott's preface is very direct and very provocative. It causes you to think about what it is you're doing, what is Krishna consciousness. In a very direct way, you're motivated to think about that. In the Western countries, when someone sees the cover of a book like Krishna, see the cover, he immediately asks, who is Krishna? Who is the girl with Krishna? And so forth. The immediate answer is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is that? Because he conforms in exact detail to descriptions of the Supreme Being, the Godhead. Now, how does that sit with you? What you're hearing immediately is that there are exact descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how does that strike you? Do you accept that there can be descriptions of the Supreme Godhead? Everyone accepts that? Why do you accept that, Ben? But specifically, why should you accept that there are exact, detailed descriptions of the Supreme? Why? Yes, that is true. If there is description for a tiny living entity, why can't there be description for the Supreme? What do you say, Daniel? Huh? But, if the Supreme is Supreme, then shouldn't words fail you? Just like, wouldn't you like somebody to say about you, she's beyond words. She's beyond category. Wouldn't you like that? Of course, there's no one in the material world that's beyond words or beyond category. Everyone fits very nicely into words and category. Very simple. Puna charvana charvananam, chewing the chewed. You heard that expression? Chewing that which has already been chewed? Yeah, so everybody in this world fits into that category. But when we talk about the Supreme Godhead, people say, no description is possible. God is beyond all words. Now that is true if the descriptions and words are coming from ordinary persons. I think the Supreme is like this. I think the Supreme is like that. But if the description and words are coming from the Supreme directly, then you have something else. If I want to know you, the best person to ask is you. Why can't that same advantage be there in getting information about the Supreme? Why are we so hesitant to accept that there can be information about the Supreme? This is a very important point, because the whole Krishna consciousness effort is based on the fact that there is knowledge of the Supreme Godhead. This is the gulf between us and others. We say there is supreme knowledge. Everyone else either does not care, or they say the Supreme cannot be described beyond words, beyond category. Beyond words from you. Beyond categories from you. But when Krishna speaks about himself, He can describe himself. He makes his own categories of description. So why is it not possible? Why is it impossible to hear from the Supreme about the Supreme? What is your answer to that? Let's say, Shivananda, one of your faithful customers comes into your shop and says, and you say to them, you wouldn't, but you would say to them, I have knowledge of the Supreme for you. Generally, what would they say? If you did say something like that to someone. Oh, by the way, while you're looking on my shelves, I also have knowledge of the Supreme. They're going to look at you like you're crazy, right? Like, you have knowledge of the Supreme? Are you nuts? That's basically the way people feel these days, you know? Knowledge of the Supreme? You're really gone over the top, haven't you? Now, why do they think like that? Or Danielle, suppose you're up and about, wherever, however you're up and about, and you just tell persons, I have knowledge of the Supreme. They'd probably just kind of burst out laughing, huh? Why? What's the reason for that? Or they're not thinking it's possible, and they're also thinking it's not relevant. Like, what are you, some kind of weird person? You have knowledge of the Supreme? They feel it has no relevance to happiness. Now, all you have to do, those same persons, just say, I have knowledge how to increase your income tenfold. I mean, oh, really? I have knowledge about how to intensify the sense gratificatory process. Oh, really? Everyone's all ears then. Now you're talking about the real issues. But just say, I have knowledge of the Supreme. Everyone just, you joking? You having me on or what? This is the so-called human society that we're dealing with today. It's not human. People never consider that it's possible to have knowledge directly from the Supreme Godhead. And they never dare entertain the thought that there can be exact descriptions of Godhead. If they think about it at all, they'll say, if there actually is the Supreme Godhead, it's not possible to get exact descriptions because the Supreme is inconceivable. And as we said, that's true. From us, it's not possible to make an exact description. But Krishna can give an exact description of himself. How can you deny that? So that's the first thing we have to confront in dealing with Krishna and Krishna book. That there are exact descriptions of the Supreme Godhead. In other words, Krishna is the Godhead because he is all attractive. Now this next sentence is very important. It's the most profound theological statement you'll find. You can go to theological seminary for ages. You can talk to the greatest religious philosophers. You can read so many so-called New Age spiritual books, but you'll never find anything like this one sentence you're going to hear now. The weightiest statement. Outside the principle of all attraction, there is no meaning to the word Godhead. In other words, as soon as you say the Supreme or Godhead, you are talking about all attractiveness. Otherwise, there's no meaning to the word Godhead, God Supreme. We have never been taught anything like this. And no one ever teaches anything like this. Except Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. True, in other religious systems there is some idea of God. But never is the nail hit right on the head. The principle of all attraction. Attractiveness you'll find in everything. That's what pushes people on. They're attracted to money. They're attracted to other bodies. They're attracted to fame or knowledge. That's what keeps us going. We're attracted. Like moths flying into a fire, we're attracted to something. But Krishna is the source of infinite attraction. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is how to change your attraction from matter to spirit. So in Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, you're focusing right on this point of attraction. Now, how many of you ever thought about it like that? Did you ever think about it like that? Generally, people just say, I believe in God. But they don't know what they're talking about because they don't understand the principle of all attractiveness. Have you ever thought about it like that, Daniel? Yes. This is the most profound statement. Right on the first page of the preface. Outside the principle of all attraction, there is no meaning to the word Godhead. This is something anyone can explain. Even the young girls here, they can explain. Krishna is all attractive. When you say God or the Supreme, you are talking about the all attractive. Immediately you're put on the right footing. Just from that statement alone, you can analyze material life and spiritual life, all based on attraction. Material life means attraction. Will anyone here deny that? Will you deny that? You get attracted to things, right? Yes, this looks like it's going to be nice. Oh, this is attracting my senses. Yes. And spiritual life also means attraction. So you have to use your intelligence, which you don't have in material life. But anyway, once you're cleaned up a bit by the regulative principles, you're able to use your intelligence and you analyze the pros and cons of spiritual attraction and material attraction. Now, what are the pros and cons of material attraction? Would you like to discourse on that, Ben? Well, like what? Yes. Yeah, but even though you get entangled, still there's some good things. Yeah. Some good things. Right? There's some good things. Yes. You have some experience, huh? Temporary pleasure. Those are the good things. What do you say, Daniel? Temporary pleasure. Have you ever noticed on a cold day, you don't have cold days here though, do you? In the winter, 15 degrees? Really? What? Zero. At night. No, not during the day though, at night. So, suppose it's, you're having one of your cold nights, and you turn on the heater. You have an electric heater and you turn it on with your hand on top of it. Let's say it's made of metal. Or even this. You turn it on and you just keep your hand right here, like that, flush against it. Won't it feel good at first? Yeah? Your hand will become nice and warm. Maybe you just come in from outside late at night, midnight, and it's zero and below in Perth. Your hands are cold, so you just turn on your heater and just put your hand on top. Right there. Flush up against it. Won't your hands start to feel good at first? And then what happens? What? Yeah, they get hot, and then? Yeah, but didn't it feel good at first? Wasn't there pleasure at first? So what's wrong? Huh? But there was pleasure at first. Isn't that pleasure? Hmm? It is? Huh? Yes, pleasure for fools. But the fools never learn from this. That's why Krishna talks about in Bhagavad Gita, mudha janmani janmani. It's bad enough to be a fool one time, but no, Krishna says, birth after birth, you'll be a fool. This is the ultimate insult. Yeah. He tells somebody, mudha, janmani, janmani. Birth after birth, you'll be a fool. So, we agree to suffer in material life because we are falsely attracted. But that false attraction in material life is the perversion of spiritual attraction. But we have no idea of spiritual attraction because we have no idea of Krishna. Once we become familiar with Krishna, then our attention shifts from the perversion to the real thing. So we'll go on reading. How is it that one can be all attractive? Think about it. These are simple questions, but they're very profound. How is it that one can be all attractive? What do you say? Come on. Names, you've never been attracted to anyone before. What is it that attracts you? Yes, looks. Okay. What else? We group that all under beauty. According to the Vedic conception, you know, there's the physical body, gross body, and the subtle body. So personality is a subtle body. So it's all bodily beauty. So what else? Huh? Huh? No. Not simply good looks and good personalities. Got to be other things. Yeah. You want to be attracted to someone who's expert, right? Who can do things, who can manage the world. Good looks and good personality, that's good for a few days. But then, have to be other things, right? Yes? What else? Money. Haven't I told you what the mantra my mother taught me when I was 5 years old? Yes? You remember that mantra? Romance without finance is a nuisance? Yes! I mean, if the relationship is going to continue, there has to be these things, right? So the Vedic sage Parashara Muni has analyzed all the possible attractions in this world and put them in 6 categories. They are, first of all, if one is very wealthy, If he has great riches, he becomes attractive to the people in general. Similarly, if someone is very powerful, he also becomes attractive. And if someone is very famous, he also becomes attractive. And if someone is very beautiful or wise or unattached to all kinds of possessions, he also becomes attractive. Yes, even today, people are attracted a little bit to those who display unattachment or renunciation. That's why everybody glorified Mother Teresa. They never want to live like her, but they could see that, yes, she's helping so much. Of course, the welfare work of Krishna consciousness far surpasses the greatest welfare workers of this world, but the people can't see that. But anyway, we're just talking about how even today in such degraded times of uncontrolled senses, people are attracted to renunciation. So they glorify Mother Teresa. Air India gave her free passage wherever she wanted to go. Air India never offered Srila Prabhupada free passage wherever he wanted to go, because they cannot understand what real welfare work is. But anyway, the point is people are attracted even to renunciation. So from practical experience, we can observe. See, Prabhupada's being so scientific. From practical experience, we can observe that one is attractive due to wealth, power, fame, beauty, wisdom, and renunciation. One who is in possession of all six of these opulences at the same time, who possesses them to an unlimited degree, is understood to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now just think about that. Who possesses all these six opulences to an unlimited, infinite degree. Just think about what it's like to be infinitely, unlimitedly beautiful, infinitely, unlimitedly wealthy or strong. You've never seen anybody like that before. Just think, what would be your reaction upon meeting someone unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly strong? These opulences of the Godhead are delineated by Parashara Muni, a great Vedic authority. So now Prabhupada swings your vision once again back to the material world. Being scientific, he's getting you to observe. We have seen many rich persons, many powerful persons, many famous persons, many beautiful persons, many learned and scholarly persons, and persons in the renounced order of life, unattached to material possessions. But we have never seen any one person who is unlimitedly and simultaneously wealthy, powerful, famous, beautiful, wise, and unattached like Krishna in the history of humanity. On this foundation, the Krishna book is built. Now, what are you going to say about that? You have never seen any one person unlimitedly and simultaneously deep in all these six opulences. Now, what do you have to say about that? What do you have to say about that? It's true. But if it's true, why do we not become absorbed in this unlimitedly all-attractive person? You can't see what? But you have 4 other senses. Why do you stress so much what you can see? Why not what you can hear? Even so, why do you keep stressing that you have to see? Why don't you say, I have to hear it? Just listen. What's that sound? Do you see it? But why do you accept that there's a car? You cannot see, but you're hearing. Hearing is evidence. Why do you stress so much seeing? But the point is, why do you stress seeing? You have 4 other senses. The Vedic process is based on hearing. If you want to be successful in Krishna consciousness, then as much emphasis as a materialist places on seeing, in Krishna consciousness we place it on hearing. Be very eager to hear, just like the materialist is very eager to see. Because unless you take knowledge in through the ear, you won't know what to see. Have you ever looked into a microscope at cells? Has anyone ever done this here? Unless you've been trained, you won't know what you're looking at. Right? So what is this about seeing? Unless you take knowledge into the ear, you won't know what you see. For example, if you want to be a quantum physicist, it takes 8 years for you to be trained in thinking in a subatomic way according to quantum physics. 8 years. Because according to quantum physics, the subatomic activity goes on in a way that's totally contradictory to how you see the everyday world. So it takes 8 years to get you to visualize the way things are happening on the subatomic level. So there's no question of seeing unaided by hearing. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a historical person who appeared on this earth 5,000 years ago. He stayed on this earth for 125 years and played exactly like a human being. But his activities were unparalleled. From the very moment of his appearance to the moment of his disappearance, every one of his activities is unparalleled in the history of the world. From the moment of his appearance to the moment of his disappearance, every one of his activities is unparalleled in the history of the world. Now just think about that. From the exact moment of birth to the moment of departure, every one of your activities is unparalleled in the history of the world? Now, what do you think about that kind of statement? Sounds too much, doesn't it? You can't do it, right? So that means no one can. This is our attitude. This Krishna doesn't sound like anyone I know. So it can't be true. Now, just see. We reject Krishna, we won't accept Krishna, but we're forced to accept so many temporary persons, so many temporary identities and bodies of matter. We accept those, oh yes. But Krishna, no, no. mythological or I don't know what, or I'm just not ready to cope with it right now. Got some better things I have to do. So, we don't accept Krishna, but material nature says, you must accept someone. Here's a nice body of matter. Here's a nice material designation. Male, female, mother, father, son, daughter, this, that, the other. You take those and try to be attractive. So remember that statement. From the moment of Krishna's appearance to the moment of his disappearance, every one of his activities. In other words, Krishna did not grow into being the Supreme. That's Prabhupada. The information that's going to give you knowledge of every moment of Krishna's appearance. You should be curious. Every moment from appearance to disappearance, every one of Krishna's activities is unparalleled. Where's that information? That's what you'd be thinking. You should be thinking like that. Instead, what do we think? What do we think instead? Well, I got better things to do. That's very practical. I gotta pay my rent, put food on the table. I gotta get some pleasure from my senses. Gotta relieve my depression and boredom. This is our attitude. Because we are in the grip of Maya, the illusory energy, we have no impetus to understand Krishna. That's what it means to be in Maya. I don't know Krishna and I don't care. That's Maya. Essence of Maya. Therefore, anyone who knows what we mean by Godhead will accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who knows what we mean by Godhead, anyone understands actually what the Supreme is, they will accept Krishna. But what is the problem? They don't know what the Supreme is. They have such limited understanding. Even to say the Supreme is the Creator is such a limited, insignificant thing. What do we mean by Godhead? That Krishna is the all-attractive supreme enjoyer. Now, where is that religion or spiritual process that teaches that the supreme is the supreme enjoyer and gives you knowledge of how the supreme is the supreme enjoyer? Where? Nowhere. Except in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Only when we hear about Krishna's supreme enjoyment will we relinquish our crazy activities to be the enjoyer. So Prabhupada says, therefore, anyone who knows what we mean by Godhead, but the problem is they don't know what Godhead is. What did you think before hearing about Krishna? What did you think about God or the Supreme? Why did you think that? So, how attractive was that for you? A big dude with a white beard. And what was your idea? And did you care? Oh, at all. What did you care about? What did you care about? No one is equal to the Godhead, and no one is greater than him. That is the import of the familiar saying, God is great. No one is equal to the Godhead, and no one is greater than Him. So Prabhupada takes a familiar statement, God is great, and is now showing you what that really means. He's taking the familiar and using it to point out something far beyond your understanding. This is called Shaka Chandra Nyaya, the logic of seeing the moon through the branches of the tree. If you say to a little child, look at the moon in the sky, the child can't crane his neck enough to see the moon. The child is so small. But if you point out to the child, making it easier for him, see those two branches of the tree right nearby to you. Look through those two branches of the nearby tree and you'll see the moon. And it's easier for the child. Because you're taking help from something nearby to see something far away. This is called in Sanskrit Shaka Chandra Naya. The logic of seeing the moon through the branches of the Shaka. There are various classes of men in the world who speak of God in different ways. But according to the Vedic literatures and according to the great Acharyas, the authorized persons versed in knowledge of God in all ages, like Acharyas, Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnu Swami, Lord Chaitanya, and all their followers by disciple succession, all unanimously agree that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Now, do you accept that there are authorized persons versed in the knowledge of God? Think about it. Authorized persons versed in knowledge of God. Suppose you went up to a priest or a rabbi. Said, are you an authorized person versed in knowledge of God? What would they probably say? Oh, God is just something vague you believe in. Believe and you'll be saved. That's what people think. Because they have no access to knowledge of the Supreme, they have no ambition to get that knowledge. They don't even know it exists. This is the problem. People do not know that detailed knowledge of the Supreme exists. And then, the power of Maya is so great that even when they find out that it exists, they don't care. Because the senses are the predominant reality. The senses and the hankering of the senses. This is how society trains them. Sometimes while you're still working at the shop, do you look out and just see how people are walking through the mall? How their senses lead them around? You see that? That's what their life is absorbed in. They're captivated. They're attracted. And we all know the job of the expert shopkeeper is to attract their senses into the shop, right? Yes? Attract them to the products. Create a pleasurable buying experience. Because the expert shopkeeper knows people actually aren't buying the product, they're buying the hope that the product gives that they'll get some kind of experience. They're buying a hope. So when they come into the health food shop, they're buying a hope that they're going to be healthy. They're not actually buying the thing there. They're buying a hope. They're imagining in their mind, I'll feel better, I'll have more health. I'll be relieved from guilt that I'm not taking care of my health. That's what they're actually purchasing. So material life is all like that. Maya offers you a false hope. Asha, pasha, shatar, bhaja, Krishna explains in the Gita. you become bound by false hopes. Hundreds of false hopes. Moha jala samavrita. Covered by a network of illusion, moha jala. As far as we, the followers of Vedic civilization, are concerned, we accept the Vedic history of the whole universe, which consists of different planetary systems called Swargalokas, or the higher planetary system, Marchalokas, or the intermediary planetary system, and Patalalokas, or the lower planetary system. The modern historians of this earth cannot supply historical evidences of events that occurred before 5,000 years ago. And the anthropologists say that 40,000 years ago, Homo sapiens had not appeared on this planet because evolution had not reached that point. But the Vedic histories, the Puranas and Mahabharata, relate human histories which extend millions and billions of years into the past. History is going millions and billions of years into the past. Everything about Krishna consciousness is extraordinary. You just begin with understanding Krishna, and everything falls into place. Hearing about Krishna means hearing perfect knowledge. Without understanding Krishna, nothing is clear. Without understanding Krishna, who can accept that human civilization was existing for millions and billions of years? So, any questions? Did you ever realize how profound just Prabhupada's, just the preface to this Krishna book is? How many of you have read the preface that you can remember? You didn't know all that was there. You read the preface, Daniel? Oh, you haven't read Krishna book then. The Krishna book is tough for persons who are envious of Krishna. And most people in the material world, they're envious of Krishna. Yes, in order to say, no, it can't be Krishna, you have to have some kind of knowledge about Krishna. Just like if someone says, no, it's not Chris. That means we have to have some knowledge of you to reject you. But they have no knowledge of Krishna. How can they reject Krishna? Because that's their desire. And because it's their desire, Krishna fulfills that desire. He gives them the intelligence how to never remember him. How is it that scientists rack their brains in so many ways but cannot accept the simplest thing, the simplest truth, as contained in Bhagavad Gita? Because they're empowered by Krishna to forget him. but we want to be empowered by Krishna to remember him. Materialists are using their senses. Devotees are using their senses. One group uses their senses to head into hellish births. The other uses their senses to go back to Godhead. But you must use your senses. Now suppose I said to you, come and learn how to use your senses to attain the perfection of life. What would you say? Well, what would you say? I like to think about that one. Right? Right? Now suppose I say, come learn how to use your senses for immediate delight. What would you say? Oh. Right? So, this is why we say there's no human beings today. A human being would never agree to that proposition. That's an animal proposition. Do what is satisfying to your immediate sense perception. That's animal-like. But human beings are supposed to live differently. A human being has the intelligence how to deny the immediate impulses for the sake of the highest goal. Animals can't do that. Anyone else with any questions? All right. All glory to Shobha.